E1, number 25B.
Yes. And so you can go on to life, see, then to truth, then to love. Whatever you take, you can take any idea in love and just see it always the same way, you see. That an idea per se is only symbolizing a certain synonymous term, but that in order to have it in operation, to have it expressed spontaneously, you need that absolute Christian science with the law of spontaneity, therefore with a terrific drive of life, truth and love. So, in the way of methodology, try and exercise yourself in that law. I know of times when I just would stay with this one and only law practically day in, day out. Actually, I think it was one of the most wonderful times in my life when I began to see that law of interdependence. And I used it mostly in the Word, because you always start with the Word and then you get so happy about it and excited about it that you stay there for quite a while. But try it. Try it out. Just to try out to be still within yourself. Very still within yourself. And instead of trying to think, try to listen to that melody. Be in a state of listening. Actually, you can only listen if you are quiet within yourself, peaceful within yourself, when you have dropped everything in the material way and human way, have dropped all material conceptions, and then you just say to yourself, well, if I have dropped all material conception, what is left? What is left is life, truth, and love constantly in action. And you feel, therefore, that is the one operative principle or person, the divine person. Life, truth and love. And you just feel that in the whole world, no matter in which part of the world, no matter in which part of one's human life, no matter at what time in one's human life, that the whole world is operated by life, truth and love. And so you feel inwardly, I don't have to do anything except to get out of the way, step out of the way, and let life, truth and love happen. Let what happen? Let life, truth and love manifest life. Let life, truth and love unfold spirit. Let life, truth and love identify soul in its own way. Let life, truth and love govern according to principle. Let life, truth and love eternalize life. Let life, truth and love dominate all things in truth. Let life, truth and love plan all in love. And you just let it happen. And as you touch the whole, because every time you touch the seven, you touch the whole, therefore covers everything. You don't have to fear then that something is left out, that through that treatment you don't have covered all what needs to be covered, and you get the sense of peace and rest in the seventh day, and you feel that actually being is demonstrating itself. Yes. You know, I said, one could easily write a whole book about this. It all depends how far you take in other categories. Here, in most cases, except one, namely in when I did government, because you like to have government, I took in another category. You didn't notice it. I took in another category. I didn't stick to my pure law of the world. You haven't noticed it, and I tell you why. Because if you do it as we have drawn it up here on this diagram 15, we have just stated the general law of interdependence. And when you just state something fundamentally, it has always just a touch of the word. But you also can have a touch of the Christ in the word. You still can stay with that diagram, so to say, but put in a touch of the Christ. And putting in just a touch of the Christ means what? The Christ always says that the Christ illustrates the spiritual agreement of God and man. Or in other words, that it relates to me. Therefore, you can just state it a little bit different than we have it here on that diagram. If you put in just a pinch of the Christ, just let a little bit of the Christ aspect drop in, and you get something beautiful. Namely, then you get the spiritual agreement or the Immanuel, God with me, God with each one of us, God with me. And what we get here is then that life, truth, and love impel my mind. See, then I have a touch of the Christ in it. I translate it right down to me, to you, to everyone. So that life, truth, and love, see, if you would write down that law with a pinch of Christ in it, you just would state it and say with that Christ aspect in it, it would state that life, truth, and love impels really mind to love, to be my mind, my spirit, my soul, my principle, my life, my truth, my love. You want to write that down? Just wait a moment, See, you just can write it down in a few words. Just use your symbol language, you see, and you just write down life, truth, love in an abbreviated way. Impels really mind to love, right? To love, that means all seven. To be my mind to love. If you write it down that way, you have it with a few symbols, you have an elaboration of that law, which is naturally coming very near to your heart. Because it makes quite a difference if you just stay in the word per se, or if you put in here the Christ translation and you begin to see, yes, well, how was it? In earlier times, say, you said to yourself, God is mind. God is mind. And then later on, perhaps in the Bicknell Young period, you came to the point where you said, yes, but mind is my mind. Or I have the mind of Christ, I have the mind of God. And you said, this is beautiful. I have the same mind as the mind of God. I say, yes, that's fine. But do I really have it? Does it really express itself as such? What do I have to do, so to say, in order to make my mind as the mind of God to manifest itself? And so you come to this law of interdependence and you begin to see, all right, then I have to see that life, truth, and love impel the mind of God to be my mind. And you can again put those three arrows there and see that life impels the mind of God to express itself as my mind. And truth says to it, and I express that mind of God as my true mind. And love says that that mind of God as love expresses itself as my perfect mind. So you have a sense that my mind capitalized, huh? You can even capitalize my, really, huh? But my mind, which is the same mind as the mind of God, but that mind is constantly impelled by life to be expressed as my mind. And truth says, and that is the true mind of you, the only mind of you. And love says, that is the perfect mind of you, and there is no other mind of you but that perfect mind of you. Golly, if you think about that, you know, if you are inwardly quiet about that, you really feel that you are the mind of God. And not only in a state of rest, but in a state of terrific impulsion. That mind just does something because it's life, and does something that is right because it's truth, and that it does something which has a terrific perfection because it's love. But it's my mind because it has that pinch of the Christ in it. Huh? Just go through these exercises. See, we don't get it just by hearing it once and by making notes and then reading them over once. You get it by exercising over months and months every day. That builds up an atmosphere. But first there is the letter, and you have first to have the letter and to get the letter straight and clear and systematic and scientific, so that there is no deviation from the law. Once that is clear cut there, then you go over it, first in a thinking way, and then in an intellectual way, and little by little the intellectual becomes you, it sinks in, it becomes atmosphere in us, and then it has touched the spirit of it. But you can see the promise of what you will get. Can you see how simplicity can achieve something terrific? If we muddle up everything, you know, and just have 10,000 of different truths with which we discuss and over the table, and then you only hear one talking and talking and talking, all things, whatever comes into one's mind that must get out of it, you see. The other must know what we are thinking. The poor devil that sits there, huh, and has to take that all in, huh? The whole garbage of the other thought has to take it in. And then you just sit there and say, oh golly, I'm glad when I can get home into my room and be quiet, huh? And to be alone with one's own being. And then go back to simplicity. Just go through one of these laws. Huh? Naturally, you can have a pinch of Christianity in it. You see? And Christianity is always that which then makes the whole thing practical, or brings it down to a practical level. And that's what I have been doing with, when I did take principle and government, I did take in quite a bit of Christianity, without that you notice it, because you weren't aware of the subcategories. Christianity is always that which says that the Christ does something to the human, that it does something to error, for instance, that it annihilates a false belief. You see? So, you could say, well, Here again we go, life, truth and love, as the word says, impels mind to manifest itself in three ways. In the Christ, you had the sense, it's the word of the Christ, but with that Christ pinch in it, says, life, truth and love manifests mind, the mind of God, as my mind in three ways. And if you take in a little pinch of Christianity, you begin to realize, to see that that life, truth and love impelling mind to manifest itself annihilates a false sense of mind, the beliefs of mortal mind. So it begins to show, and that I did with principle, you see, that I said, life, truth and love, I can't remember exactly, but somehow I can remember, I said, life, truth and love says, I impel principle to demonstrate itself, and therefore not that people can govern. It impels, therefore, people to govern the way principle wants to govern. And it impels people not to govern according to personal sense, and therefore impels the destruction of false government, and therefore impels as love, you see, the annihilation, the resolving, and the perfect resolving of false government. Then I have taken in the resolving of error. Can you see that? It's just a matter of having categories, and it's as simple as that. If you know your four categories, what the Word is, what the Christ is, what Christianity is, it's so simple. So simple. All the notes you are taking will be much more complex and bewildering than those few simple categories. Because they just say, in the Word you have a statement that life, truth and love impel the manifestation of mind. In the Christ touch, it's not the Christ itself, but with the Christ touch it says, life, truth and love impel mind to be my mind. I translate it to my mind. If you have a pinch of Christianity in it, you see that life, truth and love impel the manifestation of mind to destroy mortal mind. That's the impulsion. To destroy mortal mind, to destroy the beliefs of mortal mind, to destroy the opinions of mortal mind, as truth in a right way and love in a loving way, but complete way. Can you see that? And that you can take with any idea. Just I have taken it with manifestation in mind. Yeah? Would you like a pinch of science in it?
Yeah,
we're waiting for that. Let's have a pinch of science in it, and it's very easy. See, science always says that principle and idea is one. See? That there is only one. So actually what we get there is that life, truth and love impel mind to love, to be the only mind to love. That's the only thing it says. It says, therefore, life, truth and love impel mind to be the only mind. Impels that there is no other mind. Life, truth and love impel spirit to be the only spirit, so that there is no other spirit. Life, truth and love impels soul to be the only soul there is, so that there is no other ego, no other selfishness, no other self-sameness, but that is the only soul, the sinless soul. life, truth, and love impelled principle to be the only principle. There is no other principle. Life, truth, and love impel life to be the only life. There is no other life. There is no lack. There is no frustration. There is no death. Life, truth, and love impel truth to be the only truth, so that there is no other truth, no academic truth, no intellectual truth, no sickness, no error. And life, truth, and love impel love to be the only love, so that there is no other love. There is no sentimental love, no personal love, no any kind of human love or material love. There is just one love, and impels it to be the only love. It not only states it. See, in the world you only would state it. You would only say, love is the only love. That's a statement. But if you have the law of interdependence, you have somebody who is going to demonstrate that for you. Namely, life, truth, and love. And life, truth, and love will use every way and every trick to demonstrate itself, because it has that impelling force. And all that is a state of consciousness. And we can culture that state of consciousness. And it's so easy. We always only use either the seven or the four or the four levels. But that's structuralism. Can you see? We build new relationships. We take the old facts, a bundle of facts, and put them into new relationships. Bring in higher categories, smaller categories. Here I have been showing really only one law of interdependence, namely the word. But I have put in a slight touch of the Christ, but still remained in the word. So it was really the word as the word, and then the word as the Christ, and then the word as Christianity, and then the word as science. So I haven't gone to the category of the Christ column. I stayed in the word. Don't mix that up. So that we really are aware that what I have been doing is actually that I have only been showing life, that word, vertical, life, truth, and love coming down to mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and building into this word order a touch of the Christ, touch of Christianity, and a touch of science, without going any further here to the Christ vertical. So that must be very clear. I haven't budged yet. I stayed in the category of the word. But we have the perfect right to put in a pinch of the Christ, and a pinch of Christianity, and a pinch of science, and actually every time the picture becomes bigger and fuller.
In that matrix, when I said coming down this side, the word is the word, word is Christ, the word is Christianity, and the word is science.
Yes, it has nothing to do really with the matrix, except for that the word does reflect the Christ and Christianity and science. But you are thinking of John Dolly's matrix with the synonyms in it, and that naturally you must forget, you see. I've always put all the seven synonymous term and gave to all the seven synonymous term a touch of the Christ, and a touch of Christianity, and a touch of science. Can you see how flexible one can become if one knows categories? Then one is not held back or bound back to one statement that has been made 25 years ago, but that we can develop these categories. Okay.